y'all. This is Scott Merrick with the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach. Thank you for downloading Snacks for the Brain. An article in today's Vanderbilt Register calls our attention to the fact that Vanderbilt psychologist Randolph Blake has won an Ig Nobel Prize. That piqued my interest, especially since I had no idea what that prize was, though my suspicion was that it might just be a little offbeat. This show's dedicated to bringing you the straight skimmy on Ig Nobel Prizes and on our own Dr. Blake's recently awarded, award. I'll borrow from several sources here, including the Vanderbilt Register article by Melanie Morin and Wikipedia's concise entry on the Ig Nobel Prize. Links to these and anything else that pops up over the next few minutes will, of course, be posted at the blog site, snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com. Check those out. Dr. Randolph Blake is Centennial Professor of Psychology and an investigator in the Vanderbilt Kennedy Center for Research on Human Development. He also is a member of the Vanderbilt Center for Integrative and Cognitive Neuroscience and a founding member of the Vanderbilt Vision Research Center. Blake was inducted into the American Academy of Arts and Sciences on October 7th of this year. Cool. So when I read this article, I saw this article in the Vanderbilt Register, I decided to go, you know, check out and see what this Ig Nobel Prize thing is really all about. I hope to get in touch with Dr. Blake and have him on a subsequent show, but this show is really dedicated to what the Ig Nobel Prize is all about. So let's look at the Wikipedia entry, and I'm going to quote a little bit from it as we proceed. Here it is. Ig Nobel Prize. The Ig Nobel Prizes are a parody of the Nobel Prizes and are given every year in early autumn, around the time the recipients of the genuine Nobel Prizes are announced, for 10 achievements that, quote, first make people laugh and then make them think, unquote. Organized by the scientific humor journal Annals of Improbable Research, they are presented by genuine Nobel laureates at a ceremony at Harvard University. The first Ig Nobels were awarded in 1991, at that time for discoveries, and I quote, that cannot or should not be reproduced, unquote. With the exception of three prizes in the first year, the Ig Nobel Prizes are for genuine achievements. The awards are sometimes veiled criticism, as in the two awards given for homeopathy research, or prizes in science education to Kansas and Colorado State Boards of Education for their stance regarding the teaching of evolution. But most often draw attention to scientific articles that have some funny or unexpected aspect. Examples range from the discovery that the presence of humans tends to sexually arouse ostriches, to the statement that black holes fulfill all the technical requirements to be the location of hell, to research on the 5-second rule, a tongue-in-cheek belief that food dropped on the floor won't become contaminated if it is picked up within 5 seconds. I remember that one from my restaurant years. Let's go look at the list of recipients for 2006. I'm going to read them all because they all deserve recognition. And because if you don't hear them here, you probably won't. Here they are. The 2006 categories are ornithology, nutrition, peace, acoustics, mathematics, literature, medicine, physics, chemistry, and biology. The 2006 Ig Nobel Award for Ornithology goes to Ivan R. Schwab of the University of California, Davis, and the late Philip R. A. May of the University of California, Los Angeles, for exploring and explaining why woodpeckers don't get headaches. The Nutrition Award goes to Wasamia Al-Houthi of Kuwait University and Fatan Al-Musallam of the Kuwait Environment Public Authority for showing that dung beetles are finicky eaters. The 2006 Peace Ig Nobel Award goes to Howard Stapleton of Merthyr Tydfil, Wales, for inventing an electromechanical teenager repellent, a device that makes annoying noise designed to be audible to teenagers but not to adults, and for later using that same technology to make telephone ringtones that are audible to teenagers, but not to their teachers. Acoustics. D. Lynn Halpern of Harvard Vanguard Medical Associates Brandeis University and Northwestern University, Randolph Blake of Vanderbilt University and Northwestern University, and James Hildebrand of Western Michigan University and Northwestern University for conducting experiments to learn why people dislike the sound of fingernails scraping on a blackboard. Mathematics, Nick Svensson and Piers Barnes of the Australian Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization for calculating how many photographs a person must take to almost ensure that no one in a group photograph will have their eyes closed. Literature, Daniel Oppenheimer of Princeton University, for his report, quote, "Consequences of erudite vernacular utilized irrespective of necessity. Problems with using long words needlessly," end quote. Medicine, Francis M. Fesmire of the University of Tennessee College of Medicine, for his medical case report, termination of intractable hiccups with digital rectal massage, and Mahed Ode, Harry Bassan, and Ari Alevin of Nai Zion Medical Center, Haifa, Israel, for their subsequent medical case report, also titled Termination of Intractable Hiccups with Digital Rectal Massage. Physics, Basile Odoli and Sebastian Neukirch of the Université Pierre et Marie Curie in Paris for their insights into why when you bend dry spaghetti, it often breaks into more than two pieces. Fragmentation of rods by cascading cracks. Why spaghetti does not break in half. Chemistry, Antonio Mulet, Jose Javier Benedito, and Jose Bon of the Universidad Politécnica de Valencia, Spain, and Carmen Rosello of the Universitat de les Balears in Palma de Mallorca, Spain, for their study Ultrasonic Velocity in Cheddar Cheese as Affected by Temperature. The last category, Biology. Bart Knowles of Wageningen Agricultural University in Wageningen, the Netherlands, and of the National Institute for Medical Research in Afakara Centre, Tanzania, and of the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, Austria, and Ruhr de Jong of Wageningen Agricultural University and of Santa Maria degli Angeli, Italy, for showing that the female malaria mosquito Anopheles gambiae is attracted equally to the smell of Limburger cheese and the smell of human feet. If that ain't a list, I don't know what is. And hey, I know you're tired of listening to me, so listen up to Dr. Randolph Blake himself, winner in the acoustics category of the Ig Nobel Award 2006. This audio is courtesy of Melanie Morin at the Vanderbilt Register. Thanks, Melanie! There'll be a link to her website and all of its great content at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com. Maybe listen up first to the sound that he was researching. The sound that he studied, the sound of fingernails scratching across a chalkboard. This
project was done a couple of decades ago at Northwestern University with two colleagues. Both of them were in the audiology department. And we asked the very simple question, what is the nature of the acoustic signal associated with scraping your fingernails over a chalkboard, which is almost universally aversive? And to do that, we actually recorded that sound. We took a three-pronged garden tool and scraped it over a chalkboard and recorded that, as well as other sounds. And then we subjected those sounds to different sorts of computer signal processing so that we could remove different frequency components. Sounds are made up of a wide variety of frequencies. And we... intuition told us that it was probably the shrill high frequencies in the fingernail sound that was giving rise to the subversive chilling quality. And so we produced versions of that sound that didn't have those high frequencies, and versions that didn't have the middle frequencies, and versions that didn't have the low frequencies. And then we had volunteers wear headphones and listen to all our library of sounds, which included the fingernails on the chalkboard sounds. And for each one, they rated how aversive it was, how much they disliked it, using what's called magnitude estimation. They just assigned it a number. And it turned out, to our surprise, that the removal of the high frequencies didn't reduce the aversive quality of it. Even without the high frequencies, people still found that sound to be quite aversive. But removing the middle frequencies from the sound actually made it no longer aversive. Even though you could tell that there was something going on, you could hear it, it just didn't sound so icky anymore. And so that was the surprising result. And those are also the frequencies, the middle frequencies are the ones that are very important for understanding vocalization, speech. And so obviously we don't find speech aversive, but that motivated me to then look at some of the sound waves associated with other kinds of vocalizations in primates. And as it turns out, the acoustic signal associated with primate warning cries, in particular chimpanzee warning cries, is remarkably similar in appearance to the sound waves produced by fingernails on a chalkboard.
Let's hear just what that sounds like. Warning!
And I even went so far as to actually download from the web some chimpanzee warning cries. And when you hear those, they are eerily similar to the sound of fingernails on the chalkboard. So our speculation, of course, our results didn't prove this, but our speculation was that the reason this sound, fingernails on the chalkboard, has this kind of universal aversive quality is that it triggers in us an unconscious automatic reflex of we're hearing a warning cry.
Hey, I know, let's not end it. Let's do a
tech tip tidbit for you.
Tip number 2181 from worldstar.com. Here you go. Say you have about 4 different programs running on your PC at the same time. You have your email up and running, a web browser window open, a Word document ready for review, and your music player playing your favorite song. With all of that going on, have you ever wondered if there were a quick way to view all of those programs and then pull up the one you want right then and there? Well,
check out Alt plus Tab.
You're in luck. All you have to do is press Alt plus Tab and it will bring up all of the programs you have open. Just continue to press the Tab key to scroll your way across the programs, highlight the one you want, and then release the Alt key to bring up the one you choose. Want to change programs again? Just repeat the process. It's so simple, and it also helps you keep track of everything you have running. This has been a tip from WorldStar.com. By permission, it is chock full of tips for everybody who uses a computer.
Snacks for the Brain is brought to you by the fine folks at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, connecting working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. Check out the website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO.
Before we finish up here, I should mention that the 2 songs that I used at the beginning of the show were from a wonderful new website I found called Magnatune. I highly suggest you go check that site out. And I'm going to break with tradition and play something that's going to sound like a commercial. And, well, I guess it is. But maybe it's not, because they're not paying me any money. They are giving us wonderful PodSafe music to play. So go support them at magnatune.com. The first song was from talented hammer dulcimer virtuoso Jamie Janover. The acoustic guitar piece was from an acoustic duo from Tennessee called Heavy Mellow. There are links to their websites at the show notes site as well. That's snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com. Cool.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnitude. We are not evil.
Outreach Radio.
See ya.
See ya.
Hey. Hey, Scott, I thought you were going to play one of your own songs this show.
Well, I guess I could, Homer. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
let's do it. This is from my CD, Scott Merrick's Songs for Alaska, featuring the Last Frontier Band. It's a song about sound, so it sort of fits in with today's show. I'm going to leave you out with it, and I'll see you next time on Snacks for the Brain.
For your listening pleasure, train sound. Thank you.
over on a quiet night. A cool wind shivers through a cooler light. I'm wondering how I lost the love we found. Train sound. Got my good ear to the ground by the side of the track. If I ride that rail, I never will be back. I don't care where it's been or where it's bound. Train. Train sounds tumbling through the other side of time, watching the towns I'm leaving behind. A clicking and a clacking like a child's toy. A room full of trains and one little boy. Life isn't fair, it's done on a dare. Different there. Freight train comes and then it rolls away. It rumbles like the ocean on a stormy day. I wonder why I even hang around. Train. Train sounds. Train.